One of the stories on the front page of the Cape Argus today refers to the housing crisis in Cape Town. Our prices have increased to such an extent that middle-class families are finding it virtually impossible to put a roof over their heads. The city is ranked third, apparently, in the world for the highest housing prices, behind only Shanghai and Vancouver. These prices have resulted in evictions and displacements, with a poor supply of affordable housing in the private sector and a failure of government to build well-located affordable housing, adding fuel to the fire. Joining me on the line now is a researcher at Ndifuna Ukwazi, Julian Senden. Julian, a very good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon to you, Africa, and your listeners.
It is really a problem, is it not? I'm a Cape Townian. I have a very good job, and I could and I should be able to live in the center of town if I chose to, Woodstock, Salt River, somewhere along the Atlantic seaboard. But as a person who's not married and do not have a second income, I'm finding it extraordinarily difficult for me to actually get into the market with a property that I can afford.
Absolutely. And I think what makes this problem even worse, if we acknowledge that, you know, this problem is not just in Cape Town, it's everywhere in the world, in all big cities. But of course, we have an especially painful history of apartheid and colonial apartheid planning before that. And, you know, the wounds of that really haven't been fixed. And we're kind of adding fuel to the fire with this next wave, if you like, of almost evictions from central areas like City Bowl, Woodstock, Salt River, etc.
What should be done, Julian? I do know that the city, I suppose, could introduce some bylaws and legislation that will help protect certain areas from price hikes and perhaps put a cap in terms of how much the rental will increase or how much one can sell a housing unit in a particular block. But the city would be criticized heavily, I suppose, by other people for taking such a move.
Look, this is an incredibly complex issue, and you know, there's no silver bullet here. The state needs to do a number of things. Probably the most obvious one is that it needs to build well-located, affordable, subsidized housing. Now, we know that this kind of housing tends to be built on the urban periphery, far from jobs, and so we kind of repeat the same issues of the past. But there is also the sentiment, and we hear it from politicians all the time, that, you know, their hands are tied, this is the private sector, they can't regulate, they can't intervene. And that really is just very, very untrue. So one example, for instance, that the city of Cape Town could do and it would have a massive impact is through its land use legislation, it really regulates private and public development, right? And I'm talking here about rezoning and all of these kinds of things. Now, what we're seeing in the city is that developers are getting massive departures, right? And these departures allow them to build bigger buildings, to have more bulk. And these departures really, if you translate them into the profits that they're worth in this really robust economy or really robust market, they're worth tens of millions of rands at the end of the day. Now, around the world, other cities, what they'll do is they'll negotiate using these land use rights, saying, all right, we'll grant you this upzoning or this departure if you provide affordable housing either on site or in the vicinity. So it's a form of value capture. And really, it's a crying shame that the city of Cape Town hasn't taken the lead on doing that.
And they haven't taken the lead because what? There is no appetite for even considering such a scheme?
Absolutely. I think it's a problem of political will, if you boil it down, really. The legislation is there. We have the legal frameworks to claw back some of this value, but it just nothing has really been done. Around 2009, there were talks. There was a paper discussion at provincial level about, you know, introducing this kind of what they call inclusionary zoning. It kind of fell off the radar. And now all these years down the line where we have a property market which is really on steroids at the moment, they still haven't managed to put this into practice.
Is there an opportunity here, Julian, then, to go to the developers? Because I had an interesting conversation last week with somebody who's head of the Western Cape Property Forum, who said, just like we saw in the shortage of the student housing scenario, we now have developers who are building all these student housing complexes and obviously getting a very reasonable rate of return from that. Is it possible for us to go to the private sector and say, you are developing property, instead of developing property? property that will sell for, I don't know, 2.5 million rand for a 48 square meter flat, consider social housing and perhaps have them come up with a business model that would make sense for them to invest in such infrastructure?
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, it's an opportunity that we can ill afford to let get away. The housing backlog is so enormous that, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves. There is simply no way the state, you know, at all levels, whether provincial or national or local, can deal with this problem by themselves. They have to leverage the capacity of the private sector to assist them. But what this requires is, in the case of local government, that it plays a regulator and that it actually negotiates on behalf of citizens of Cape Town to create this housing stock. But what we're seeing at the moment is really the red carpet is rolled out for developers. In the case of these departures that I spoke of earlier on, you know, they're dished out kind of for free when they should not be dished out for free. So as much as we need, you know, engagements and talks between the state and private developers, the state also has to realize this role of regulator. You know, it can't just be buddy-buddy and rolling out the red carpets.
What can the electorate do, Julian? Because ultimately, we elect the City of Cape Town city councillors, obviously. Is there any way that when it comes time for the next local government election, we can then place pressure on the politicians to consider such legislation and bylaws that will make it possible for more social and affordable housing to be considered in Cape Town?
Absolutely. You know, one of the campaigns that we'll be launching shortly revolves around a building that's being proposed for the CBD of Cape Town. It will be the tallest building in Cape Town. Now, this building is going to require almost 33% additional bulk. And if you do some calculations, that comes out to around 80 million rand in additional profits. Now, this development application is currently sitting before the city. And in the next coming week or so, we will be mobilizing a campaign on this exact issue, using this building as a site of struggle, as it were. But of course, it extends beyond just that one specific campaign. I think we really need to ask very hard questions about our politicians and, you know, why they haven't done more to rein this issue in. If we consider, for example, that in the inner city and surrounds of Cape Town, from Sea Point to around Observatory, not one single state-subsidized house has been built in that area since the end of apartheid. It's really shocking. And, you know, we often talk of track record. There is no track record on this issue from both governments that have controlled the city and provincial level.
Shocking indeed. Julian Senden, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Julian is a researcher at Ndifuna Ukwazi.